In fact, I know you had another song for the end, but I would really love that song you just did for the end. That would be so awesome. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everyone. So great to have you with us today. It's so great to be together. And there's just such a wonderful sense of God's presence, even beginning before service this morning when we were in the prayer room with the prayer team. And the note that seemed to come to us was, "Be still and know that I am God." God wants to speak. And in the noise that is around your world, God wants to speak in silence and sweetness and calm. There may be some here this morning and you have had a pretty rough week. And maybe like that tsunami warning that came yesterday, the waves have been just kind of churning. But God wants to say, be still. God is saying to you, be still and know that I am Adonai, Lord God Almighty. I'm in control. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for being here to help us as we worship together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every one. And Lord, for those who have come, Lord, their hearts are filled with joy and anticipation and faith. And Lord, those who have come and Lord, they're not too sure, but your Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us. Be still and know that I am God, to trust you today. And so we do that in the name of Jesus. We trust you today. For those, Lord, who are looking for a healing touch, we thank you that you are moving by your Spirit. And Lord, you're depositing healing today, provision today, blessing today in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, as we turn our attention to your precious word, I thank you, Lord, that you will open our eyes to see the way we should go, open our eyes to hear your voice, and anoint our feet to be ready to respond to your call today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, again, welcome everybody. I'm so glad to be here together with you. And for those who are on online church, we want to also welcome you and thank you for being with us and letting us come into your living room. And today we are going to just get right into God's word. Are you ready for his word today? Are you ready to hear what God has for us today? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And we are in the midst of a mini-series entitled Dangerous Prayers, and it stems from a book of the same title by Craig Groeschel. And this is just an absolute incredible book. If you haven't already downloaded it on your iPad or your phone, you can get it. You can buy it at the Christian bookstore. But it is a powerful book, Dangerous Prayers, because following Jesus was never meant to be safe. Last week we looked at one of those dangerous prayers: "Make me bold." How many dared pray that prayer this week? Make me bold. Open my eyes to the opportunities around me, Lord, and help me to be your hand extended. That is a dangerous prayer, but folk, it is a blessed prayer when by faith we just step out and we become involved with what God is doing. Well, today we are going to look at another one of those dangerous prayers. And today we're looking at the dangerous prayer, "Speak to me." You see, God is always speaking. The question we need to ask ourselves, are we listening? Are we listening to what God is saying each and every day? I want to begin with a story. Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, now I have to stop right here because I have to share with those who may be a little bit older than Einar. No, a little bit older than me. What is a telegraph and what is Morse code? Well, for those who are old enough to remember, you'll know exactly what Morse code is and how essential it was during the last couple wars. But it is, for those who may not have ever heard of it, just think of it as the kind of texting your grandparents used to do. But instead of an iPhone, they used a telegraph machine with lots of clicks. So, that everyone understand where I'm coming from now? So, let's carry on. Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clutter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. The young man filled out his form, sat down with several other applicants in the waiting area, and after a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would be disqualified. When a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming, but the job has been filled." The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and one spoke up saying, "Wait a minute. I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed yet. He got the job. That's not fair." The employer calmed everyone down and said, "I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been clicking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in." None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, and so the job is his. We live in a world that is full of noise, busyness, and clatter, just like that office. People, each and every day, no matter where you go, are distracted, and many Christians, through the busyness of life, are distracted and unable to hear the clear, still, small voice of God as he speaks to them. What about you? Are you tuned into God's voice? Do you hear him when he speaks to you? Are you a talker or are you a listener? You see, God is always speaking, but are we listening? Let's take a look at one young man's experience in listening and hearing God's voice. You got your Bible open? 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now let me just stop there to give a little background to this scripture. If you go back two chapters to chapter 1, you find the story of a husband and wife, a young mom by the name of Hannah, who had for many, many years been waiting for the birth of a child. She had been praying her whole life since she got married that God would give her a son, and nothing ever happened. She waited and prayed. She prayed and waited until finally, the Lord answered her request. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son. And she said to the Lord, in honor of God's faithfulness, that she would present her firstborn son to the Lord to serve in the temple. And true to her word, after the boy was weaned at about 2 or 3 years of age, she took the young lad to the temple and presented him to the high priest, who at that time was Eli. The high priest, of course, was the head honcho of the temple. What he said went. His duty was threefold. His duty was to make sure that the temple was set in place and ready for sacrifice, for prayer, for people to come and offer their sacrifices to God. He was to be there to teach the word of God. He was there to make sure that Israel was doing what the law of Moses said they ought to be doing. He was to be God's spokesman for the people. This was Eli. And so when Hannah brought her young son, Eli very gladly and humbly received him so that throughout his young life, he would learn what it means to serve God in the temple. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. This actually took place during the time of the judges. During the time of the judges, there were no kings, there was no prime minister, there was no president, but that God, who was to be the head of the nation, had set up judges, men and women who would lead and deliver Israel against her enemies. And it's during this time that this story is happening. And yet, during this time, there was no prophetic voice. There was very little teaching of the word of God. Think about Eli, what I just said a moment ago. Someone who was tasked with the job of teaching the word of God wasn't. And so the word of God was rare. There were not many visions. And one day, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Now, there's a couple things that I love about these words. First of all, there's the practical. The lamp of God, of course, is that candlestick of seven candles that was placed in the temple, in the holy place, before the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy place. And the light was to always be shining. It was to never go out. It represented the Spirit of God, and it was never to go out. And so Samuel, who actually wrote this book, is writing that in those days, the lamp of God had not gone out yet, which simply means two things. It meant, number one, it was probably the early hours of the morning that this happened. And second of all, it was Samuel's job, no doubt, to make sure that the lamp was always lit. That's what he was tasked to do, to make sure that the lamp of God was always lit. Let's carry on. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Just think of this just for a moment. Here is young Samuel who is... If you grew up in Sunday school, you probably remember those Sunday school papers. And the Sunday school papers picture Samuel as a young child, probably 8, 9, or 10 years. Well, it could be that he was perhaps a little bit older. He may have been in his early teens, maybe even his middle teens. Scholars and commentators are unsure. But he was young, he was ready, and he was available to hear God's voice, and a voice that would forever change his destiny and his direction in life. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." He ran to Samuel and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, just stop there just for a moment. Just think about the implications of this. Here's young Samuel. She's been dedicated by God, by her family, to God, to know and to serve God in the temple. Yet throughout his young life, though he had been trained in the things of God, he had been taught, no doubt, the law of Moses. He had been taught about the significance of the furnishings in the temple and what the sacrifices meant. Yet all of the ritual meant nothing when it came to knowing God. And I think this is an important point to remember, because all of us have known people. Maybe you've been one of those people, or you know people who, they may come to church, they fulfill all of the religious duties of what a Christian ought to be. Yet, my friend, religion and duty and all these things mean nothing unless we have entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And what Samuel is about to learn is that knowing about God is so much different than knowing God himself. And he's about to enter into a living lifestyle of relationship with God his Father that's going to change everything for him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there. I want that to sink in for a moment. Three times the Lord has been trying to get Samuel's attention. And now this time, we read the Lord came and stood there. I wonder what would happen if in our church on a Sunday morning, after going through all of the religious exercise of singing our songs and praying our prayers, if the Lord would actually stand in the middle of this room. What would happen? And yet, he's here. He is here. Let us never, ever forget that. Though we may not see him, we may not feel him, we may not think that he's with us, but yet know this, that if you're a child of God, no matter where you go, he is with you by his Spirit. Never, ever forget that, church. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." God is speaking. Are you listening? Why is it that we can't hear God speak at times? Well, there are times when we go through dry seasons, isn't there? Go back to verse 1. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And while I shared with you the practical application of that, or the interpretation of that to Samuel in our lives, we all go through dry spells, don't we? You may have known the Lord all your life, but there have been times in your life and mine where it seems that the heavens are as brass, that no matter how we pray, how long we pray, that we just can't hear God, and we wonder. And so we go through dry spells. Dry spells come sometimes simply because of our disobedience and sin, when we knowingly walk outside of God's will. And the Bible makes clear in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Folk, let's be honest. I hate to be the harbinger of bad news, but I am commissioned and compelled to tell us that, yes, if we are intentionally, deliberately walking in disobedience to what God has told us to do and to be from his word, then yes, we will enter a dry spell and not hear his voice. Dry spells, we may be walking in obedience, but still be in a dry spell simply because of the distractions all around us that hinder us from hearing his voice. We just came through the busy Christmas season. And folk, I got to tell you, I'm glad Christmas only comes once a year. The malls were nuts. And there is so much all around us each and every day that vies for our attention. Things that distract us from hearing what God wants to say. Dry seasons come not only because we're distracted or maybe walking in disobedience, but maybe we're just plain weary, tired, and experiencing burnout and depression. David was one of those. He was a man who knew God's voice. He walked with God. But yet there was, even in his own life, times where his life was dry, where he bemoaned that he felt God was far from him. But maybe you're in that dry spell because God is simply wanting to get your attention. Do you remember the prophet Elijah? In 1 Kings chapter 19, he had just finished a great battle with the false prophets who were being led by Jezebel. And he saw the fire of God fall and consume the sacrifice. And he had won a great, great victory. And people were turning to God. And what was Elijah's response? He was just plain burned out. And he turned and he ran in the opposite direction until he found a cave in which to hide. And there in that cave, he could not run from God. God sent his angel to make sure that he was fed and nourished and hydrated. And finally, Elijah felt compelled to go to the mouth of the cave where he witnesses an earthquake and a fire and a strong wind. But God's voice wasn't in any of the noise, but in that still, small voice. He hears God speaking to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here?" And sometimes the purpose of that dry spell is to bring us out of ourselves and back towards where we will know God is and we can hear his voice. God is wanting to get your attention. He is speaking, but are we listening? Why couldn't Eli hear? Eli couldn't hear because he had lost his desire to hear God speak. It wasn't a priority. It wasn't important. He had grown comfortable in doing his religious duties, and so he lost sight of what being a follower of Jehovah was to be all about. And how many of us have ever experienced that, where we become satisfied with the way things are? Or at least we're not so dissatisfied that we feel compelled to do anything about it. We pay lip service to the things of God, but it's not really affecting our lives. My friends, God is speaking. Are we listening? Do we hear him? And do we recognize him? Jeremiah 29:13, God exhorts his people, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, God wants us to seek him. He wants us to hear his voice. He doesn't want us to be in that dry, deserted land forever. He wants us to hear him, to listen to him, to recognize him. Sometimes that voice is found in the places that we least expect it. For example, ever heard the story of this one guy who was stranded on a deserted island? There was a man who was shipwrecked. He managed to swim to a deserted island in the distance. There he found himself all alone. Days, weeks, and months had gone by, and he saw no ship. He saw no airplane. He was completely all alone, no one coming to his aid. During those days, weeks, and months, he prayed earnestly to God for help. Day after day he prayed, and each day, no reprieve. God, where are you? Why won't you show yourself to me? Then one night, his makeshift hut caught fire. To make things worse, all the food and supplies he had gathered were in the hut. With no hope in sight, the man cries out to God, God, why did you let this tragedy happen? I have been asked praying for deliverance. I've been praying for rescue. I've been praying for you to show yourself. Why did you let this happen to me? Now I have no roof over my head. I have no food for my belly. I have no hope. God, why? When daybreak broke, he woke up to a familiar sound, the crashing waves of the ocean on the beach. And then he looked out in the distance, and he thought he was perhaps dreaming or seeing a mirage. But he saw the image of what looked like a ship, and he could hear in the distance the sound of the horn as it was blowing. And yes, as he stood there, he saw a small rowboat coming closer and closer and closer until it alit onto the beach. And there the rescuers came and introduced themselves. And he was gobsmacked. His jaw fell to the ground. He didn't know what to say or to do. What's going on? And he just said, when he got back into the rowboat and to the ship, he asked the captain, Captain, how did you know I was here? The captain gave him this queried look. Well, we saw your fire and smoke signal this morning. God is speaking. Are we listening? God is speaking not only when the water is calm, but he is speaking when underneath the calm waters we are churning inside and life is ripping us apart. God is speaking, but are we listening? So how do I learn to hear God's voice then? How do I learn to hear him? Well, first of all, we need to position ourselves to hear God's voice. I love what it says that Samuel was sleeping in between the lampstand and the ark. As I mentioned, the lampstand representing the light of God's Spirit, and the ark in the holy place representing to Israel the very physical presence of God. It was the place of mercy. It was the place of sacrifice. It was the place of God's grace. And here was Samuel, perfectly positioned between his Spirit and God's presence. Man, what a better place to be than right there to hear God's voice. And folk, we need to position ourselves to be able to hear him. We need to be in that place where his Spirit does not go out in our hearts, where every day we are seeking God's fullness, that the light of his Spirit fills us and empowers us. The Apostle Paul said to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, each and every day, seek his filling. And then as you go out, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. In other words, as we go about in the fullness of the Spirit, we're going out living a life of praise to God. Don't try to live a day without the Holy Spirit filling you. Invite him to fill you today, to give you wisdom, to empower you, to help you pray, God, make me bold so I can speak to you. Holy Spirit, fill me so I can hear God's voice. He wants to speak to you, but are you listening? Have you positioned yourself to hear God's voice? Do you know him? Are you in that place where you know him as your Lord and your Savior? Have you called upon him for forgiveness and mercy and grace? Are you resting in his salvation today? Are you living in the fullness of his Spirit today? Have you positioned yourself in God? He is speaking. Are you listening? And as we position ourselves, we need to prepare ourselves to hear his voice. We prepare ourselves three ways. We prepare ourselves, number one, by being still. By being still. Psalm 46, verse 10, leads, be still and know that I am God. My friends, if you are serious about wanting to hear his voice, that one of the first things we need to do is set aside those things that could possibly distract us, our computers, our email, our social media. Can I give a confession to you this morning? I came to church ready to quiet my heart before the Lord because I knew what I was going to be preaching. And I could not believe the number of distractions that happened. Texts and emails and all kinds of questions. This never happens on a Sunday morning. Why now, Lord? And so I went out for a prayer walk. And there I just said, God, I just give these distractions to you. I want today to be a day where people hear your word, where people can know that in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of all the noise, that they can be still and know that you are Adonai, God himself. And as we are still before God, we prepare ourselves to hear him speak through his word. Proverbs 20, verse 24, the Lord directs your steps, so why try to understand every other way? Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Yes, sometimes we want God to write things in the sky like a burning bush, but my friends, when we want to hear God speak, he is as close as your Bible. He's as close as the Word of God, and that is the first and foremost tool and means by which he will speak. And when he speaks through his Word, he will affirm it through others. I'm so grateful for people in my life who have loved me enough to tell me the truth when I didn't want to hear it. I am so glad in my life God put pastors along my way to tell me, Ralph, you're being an idiot. Folk, we need people like that in our lives who are not going to tell us what we want to hear that makes us feel good, but people in our lives that will help us to see, well, you may think you've heard from God, but Ralph, this is what God's word says. You need to attend to this. Proverbs 11, 14 says, in the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. Proverbs 15, 22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 27, 8, the wounds of a friend are faithful. God will speak through his word. He'll affirm it through godly friends and counsel. And he will confirm it by bringing circumstances to bear. God speaks through his word. He affirms it through friends. But it's further confirmed by the events that he puts together. But folk, do not get this out of order. I have had too many people come into my office and say, Pastor, I believe God has called me to quit my job and to move my family to another city to plant a church and I believe God's called me. What do you think? I said, okay, he's called you to quit your job. So how are you going to support yourself? Oh, God will support me, Pastor. But yet God's word says, he that does not work shall not eat. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I believe. I said, okay, have you been to Bible college? Well, no. Have you? What are you doing in the church right now? Well, Pastor, I mean, God's called me to something greater than, you know, doing something menial like teaching children. By the way, one of the most exciting and encouraging and blessed ministries anyone could ever be part of is reaching and teaching kids. And folk, if you are looking for something, you're looking to God for a place of ministry and service, God isn't looking for a teaching degree. God isn't looking for your age. God isn't looking for anything but your faithful obedience. And if you are looking for a place to serve, can I encourage you to talk to Chris and Hannah, and they will be happy to find you a place to serve in our kids' ministries. Folk, you may feel that God has called you. Another thing, I've had young people come into my office, say, Pastor, I believe that God is telling me to marry this person, except that person doesn't know the Lord. Well, how do you know? Well, I just believe it. We're so much in love, and God wants me to lead them to Christ, but yet the Word of God says don't be unequally yoked. Do you know what you're doing? No, Pastor, God's spoken to me. Look, the Word, the counsel of wise friends and counselors, and when we have that, and God will bring circumstances to bear, but he will always then affirm it as he speaks to us by his Spirit. I was just reading this morning in Acts chapter 15 where Paul and Silas are about to go off on a mission journey. It was Paul and Barnabas, and the church was rallying around them to pray with them. And as they're praying with them, it says the Holy Spirit spoke. And I'll tell you why that's significant. First of all, Paul and Barnabas had already felt that God was calling them in a particular direction. They went to the leaders of the church to seek counsel. The church, in turn, surrounded them in prayer, and together as a body, it was affirmed. Yes, Paul, yes, Barnabas, it seems good to you, it seems good to us, and the Holy Spirit, let's do it. God will prepare us through his word. He'll affirm it through godly counsel. He'll confirm it by bringing circumstances to bear, and then his Holy Spirit will put his stamp of approval on what God may be telling you to do or not do. At the end of the day, we need to learn what it is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. My friends, God may be calling you to do something, to go somewhere, but my friends, do not just jump headlong into it. Sometimes it may take a while for God to open that door. And if God has not opened that door yet, don't push it open. Let God open the door that he has for you. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Submit to him, and he'll make your paths straight. And as God prepares us through the word, through godly counsel, by his spirit, in circumstances, and that door now seems to be open, let us be willing and ready to obey what God is telling us to do. I know I'm going to be concluding this in a moment, and I've been praying, should I share this with the church or not? And I know there are some who have, you're familiar with much of the story, how God led Sue and I here. But let me just share with you this again in a little bit more detail, especially for those who are newer and maybe you've not heard the story. We have now entered, can you believe, we've entered our seventh year as your pastor. It has been an adventure, to say the least. And we have enjoyed every minute of it. We love this church. We are so thankful and grateful that God led us here. Before we came here, we had been living and pastoring in Ontario. Our past church was a small town northeast of Toronto, east of Peterborough, Ontario, and we had been in that church for 11 years. And at the end of that 11-year tenure, I have to be honest, I was getting tired. I had gotten to the point of feeling burnout and wondering, could I do any more? I had talked with my superintendent, I had talked with the elders, and I had already taken a step of faith to become bivocational because the church just couldn't support a full-time pastor. So I began working for an organization that took care of adults with special needs, and that was an eye-opener, let me tell you. But in my heart, I was crying, God, is there one more place that you would have me to go? Is this it? Am I done with pastoring now? Am I done with ministry? I had actually been told by some of my contemporaries that, well, Ralph, you might as well get used to it because you're too old to pastor. No one wants anyone over 40. That's just the number. And I was 50 at that point. I'm going, God, is there any hope? Do you have anywhere? And I will never forget, I had started reading and studying the life of Abraham and how God had taken him along with his family from his home and taken him westward to a land that he had never been to before. And I wrote down a whole bunch of questions and statements that, you know, this guy, I mean, he's 70 when God's calling him, and what's he going to do? Like, it seemed crazy. I had actually met at our church camp our district superintendent, Ken Russell, who was our camp speaker, and he actually came to me one day, and he knew my son, Phil, and he said, Ralph, would you think of coming to British Columbia? And I just kind of laughed, said, yeah, right, like, that's going to happen. So nevertheless, he went back to BC. I went back to my home in Havelock, and I had gotten some calls from BC, but I'm going, no, this can't be God. Why would God take me all the way out west? So we had just resigned our church. I had nowhere to go. Didn't know what to do, thinking it might be the end. And I recall Sue and I had been on vacation. We had taken a little holiday, and on our way home, we are driving on the highway. My cell phone rings. It was a 250 exchange. I'm thinking it's my son, Phil, calling. So I give the phone to Sue because, of course, you can't talk and drive, right? So I gave the phone to Sue, and Sue says, Ralph, pull over. I pulled over, and it was Pat DeYoung who said, Ralph, I'm representing the board of Highway Church. Would you consider coming to Sydney, BC? Now, I have to back up a yet. The year previous, I had visited the island because we were here to attend the wedding of a friend of ours. And another friend, Tim Schindel, who works up at the legislature, called me and said, Ralph, get on the ferry, come on over, and I'll take you on a tour. So he had picked me up, and I remember driving out of the ferry along the Pat Bay, and I saw this building and not knowing what it was and going, that's a nice church. Tim took us through the little town of Sydney, and I'm going, this is a really nice town. It'd be a nice place, you know, for someone to live here. And anyway, we spent the day with Tim. We had a great time, and I had forgotten about Sydney until that phone call. And so Pat had asked the question, would you be interested? Sue was on her phone, and she's scrolling Sydney, BC, and she's saying, yes, we do. So we had set up some online virtual interviews through FaceTime and Skype, and thinking, God, is this really you? Is this really you? And so Sue and I, we set ourselves to pray. And we prayed. We had three interviews, and we prayed through each and every one. And through each and every one, we prayed, Lord, I pray that, God, you will either confirm to them and confirm with me and Sue that either we're to go or not to go. And with each call, we set out certain criteria as confirmations, and God just brought circumstances to bear. I talked to friends of mine. I talked to my own superintendent, and they're all telling me and sharing things about what this move could possibly mean if we went. I went to the Word of God, and God was speaking to me through the story of Abraham. And everything seemed to be coming together. And I remember praying, God, if this is your will, if you still have one place for me to go, then let me leave Havelock with a bang like I've never seen before. And I'll never forget my farewell Sunday at Havelock Pentecostal Church. You know, after 11 years, you wonder if you've ever made a difference. And through those years, Sue especially had been instrumental in reaching the community kids and young people through our Midweek Kids Club. And I had become involved with the ministerial. And I was absolutely dumbfounded that all the churches in town closed down to come to my farewell. Going, why? We went out with a bang. We had no idea. As people stood up to tell about how God had used us to bless them. And we had no idea the lives that we had touched in those 11 years. And then when the board finally called and invited me to come to preach a call, I remember praying in my trailer at Coburg. And I had written in my journal a whole bunch of questions because, to be honest, I was scared to death. It would be the hugest move ever in my life in ministry. And it scared me. And I'd written down all of these questions I, up to that point, was just between me and God. And I asked the Lord, as I have in every time we've ever made a move, Lord, would you be so gracious to affirm this direction through the gifts of your Spirit? And I'll never forget getting an email. It was the weekend. It was the weekend we flew out here to preach the call. And it was from a person that I was not a close friend with. Sue knew this person from her home church in Brockville. But I did know that this person, how many have had people in your life who have come up to you and say, God told me to tell you, and you are just kind of thinking in your brain, yeah, you probably had too much pizza. Well, she was not one of these people. She was one of these people who, when she said, I felt God saying to tell you, you stop and listen. And I was actually trying to find the email on my laptop this morning, and it's way, 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 way back. But in her email, she said, God told me to tell you. And she began to answer every single question that I had said to God, why I can't come here. Then she said, God trusts you. I knew that was God. And I'm so thankful that he led us here. Through the ups and the downs that we've experienced together, we've experienced it together. And God's brought us through. And I know God's going to keep us going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me just close with this. When you're seeking to know and confirm God's call or God's voice speaking to you, ask yourselves these three questions. Number one, is what I am listening to God-centered or self-centered? Is it pointing me to be more Christ-like or selfish? Is it consistent with God's word? And do I have a peace about it? And you'll notice that I have the word peace in capitals. Because we're not talking about a feeling. We're talking about the peace of the Holy Spirit that when life goes crazy and we're on that never-ending roller coaster and we're tempted to doubt whether we are where God wants us to be, it is his Holy Spirit in those difficult times that gives us that peace, that gives us the strength that we can continue to move forward. God is speaking. Are you listening? Worship team, would you come back to your instruments and be ready to lead us in that song again? Country boy went to visit his cousin in New York City. It was about noon and they were downtown by Times Square in Manhattan. The streets were filled with people. Cars were honking their horns, sirens were wailing, and the sounds of the city were almost deafening. The young country boy said to his cousin, I hear a cricket. His cousin said, you're crazy. How can you hear anything with all this racket, let alone a cricket? The country cousin listened again and said, yes, I'm sure. I hear a cricket. The two cousins listened very carefully for a moment, and then the country cousin walked across the street to a big cement planter where some bushes were growing. He looked in the bushes, and sure enough, there was a cricket. That's incredible, said his city cousin. You must have superhuman ears. No, said his simple country cousin. My ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for. God wants to talk to you. Are you still? Are you willing to listen? And are you ready to obey his call? What are you listening to today? God wants to speak. Are you listening?